This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وبعد. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. I would like to welcome all of you to this webinar organized by Al-Balagh Academy on the seerah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, this webinar is a very important webinar, loving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him, in which we want to learn how to love the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, in order to achieve contentment, tranquility and success in this world and in the hereafter, inshallah. So this webinar is a very important webinar, and hopefully we can discuss some very, very important issues. I don't want it to just be, it's a lecture, there's no slides, but not just, I want to talk about certain things from certain aspects that are probably like important in our day-to-day life. Now, this webinar is more or less a introduction or a prologue to a course on the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is why this is like a introductory lecture, initial introductory lecture to talk about this topic and why it's important to learn about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how we can connect the love of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam with our day-to-day life, and specifically how we can acquire and achieve contentment and tranquility in our lives. To start off with, there's a saying in English. I don't really know if this is a saying, but it's a saying. What I mean by that is that I don't know if this is a proper saying somewhere, but I made it up many, many years ago, and it might actually be someone saying, I don't really know, but I kind of made it up. So maybe I saw it somewhere, I'm not sure, but the saying is, knowing him is to love him, and loving him is to follow him. Knowing him is to love him, and loving him is to follow him. Repeat, third time. Knowing him is to love him, and loving him is to follow him. I mentioned three things. Know, love, follow. Knowing him is to love him, loving him is to follow him. If you take number three, the final ultimate part of this saying, we all know as Muslims that we are duty bound by Sharia, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are responsible that we have to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we call in Arabic, ittiba' or ita'ah. The Quran tells us in clear terms, on more than one occasion, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ati'u allaha wa ati'u rasul. O you who believe, obey God, obey Allah, wa ati'u rasul, and obey the Messenger. And many other verses, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Actually, another verse, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever obeys Allah and his Messenger will indeed attain success, great success. And great success includes success of this life and success of the next life. And success of this life is actually to do with the brain and the mind and the internal more than anything else. I will elaborate on this part later, that is to do with more with the mind and the brain, because a lot of people have misunderstood what success of this life is. I'll just mention this briefly now and then elaborate on it later on. If I say to you, for example, that you want to be successful in life, or anyone says, be successful in life. Do you want to be successful, brother, sister? Do you want to be successful? Make something out of your life. Be successful in your life. Most people, if not all of us, 99.99% of us, what comes to our mind? Success, something that's physical. If we're saying successful in terms of your earnings and wealth, you think success means I have a good paid job. I earn a lot of money. I'm able to provide for the family. That's what success is. I have a car, I have a job, I have, you know, like a house, and I earn lots of money. Success in education, I've got a degree, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm a barrister, I'm a philosopher, I'm an accountant, I'm a whatever. Or success, I'm a scholar. Success, I'm not saying that's not success, but it's not restricted to that. That's not the only success. Because success has a lot to do with the internal and especially the brain. And now modern research is telling this a lot. How many people are externally successful, but their brains are messed up? How many people are multimillionaires and filthy rich, but they are depressed and at the lowest points of their lives that they can even imagine? The person earns so much money, but he commits suicide. There were so many sports players. There were there's been some in the news, in the media, had a professional sports career. And what that entails in terms of earnings, like the person was earning and had earned something we can't even imagine and think and see in our lives. That's how much they earn in a week. They earn 250 to 300,000 pounds a week. And many people don't even see 300,000 pounds in their entire life. This person is committing suicide. The guy's successful. What's happened? Why is he committing suicide? He's got family, he's got children, he's got all the things, but in there, it's gone. Internally, there's no peace, there's no tranquility. So we have to realize that success and salvation and goodness and prosperity, success or prosperity in this world is not restricted to the external. It's not restricted to what job you've got externally, how much money you're earning, what position you have in society, what status you have. It's not restricted to that. Rather, on the contrary, sometimes some people are actually poor, yet internally they are more prosperous. Their internal is more prosperous. There's someone who's very rich but can't sleep at night. He has to take 10 tablets and medication to sleep. He's stressed, super stressed, anxious, anxiety, mental health issues, all sorts of problems. And there's another person who earns a basic minimum wage, like so less money, but the guy goes home and eats his nice chapati and food and just vegetables, and then has a cup of tea after that, goes on his bed and sleeping like 8 hours, okay, just relax, wakes up in the morning, prays Fajr Salah, has a nice banana, you know, and in the morning for breakfast and some fruit, and then has a nice omelette and egg, and then just goes work and it's relaxing, comes and has rice in the afternoon, and just relaxed life, like, and he's earning small amount of money, but internally he's happy. So prosperity and success does not necessarily mean external prosperity. And I was saying, I'm going to elaborate on this topic a bit more, because we're talking about loving, how the loving of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could lead us to achieve contentment and tranquility and success in this world and the hereafter. Remember, hereafter is there anyway. So that's going to be elaborated later on. But I was saying, if you remember, I was mentioning the phrase, knowing him is to love him and loving him is to follow him. And I was talking about following him. And I said, everyone knows that in Islam, we are responsible to follow, obey the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I mentioned the verse of the Quran. And this is how I talked about this issue. I said, Allah says in the Quran, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever obeys Allah and obeys His Messenger, whoever follows His Messenger, whoever emulates His Messenger, whoever follows in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whoever loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then that person shall attain prosperity and success. And this is what I meant, that success and prosperity here means the mind prosperity. That if you obey Allah and His Messenger, you will have some peace in your heart. You'll have tranquility in your heart. You'll have contentment in your heart. You will have surur, internal peace. This is what you'll have. You might not have 2 billion pounds. You might not have 100,000 pounds. You might not earn as much as someone else. But what you will have is internal richness. You will have internal richness, wealth of the nafs. This is why the hadith says, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. Real richness is not richness in quantity of wealth. Real richness is غِنَى النَّفْسِ. So you are rich in your soul, you are rich in your heart. And that's what people are missing today, and they're missing the point. Because nowadays, how success and prosperity is measured is completely messed up. That's what's happening. Because people have got their priorities wrong. They've misunderstood. Everything is about numbers these days. It's all about quantity, external quantity. Success means I've got this many followers on Facebook, on Twitter, this many fans on Facebook, this many people. It's like, it's crazy. What's that going to do to you? Like, that's got nothing to do with success. So the Quran says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We're very superficial. We're looking at apparent. And we restrict. I'm not saying these things are not important. They are important, of course, to an extent, earning a livelihood and all of these things. But that's not prosperity and, prosperity and happiness and success is not restricted to that. That's my point. So anyway, knowing Him is to love Him, loving Him is to follow. So number three, I said, everyone knows that we have to follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But to follow him is not easy. It's not easy to follow anyone. We are stubborn beings as it is anyway, human beings. We are stubborn. We all like to just do what we want to do. We have these character traits that we don't want to listen to anybody else. We want to make our own decisions. The most difficult thing for a human is to follow someone else and obey someone else. You know, that's one of the most difficult things for human beings to do. This is why nobody wants to listen to their parents. Children don't want to listen to their parents, and nobody wants to listen to anyone. Nobody wants to take the opinion of other people, especially in these times we're living in, where everybody is self-opinionated and everyone's stubborn. What makes sense to me makes sense to the world. What makes sense to me is correct, regardless of the whole world, what they say. Whatever makes sense, what I understand, then this is correct, and that's it. This is the only correct. Nothing else is correct. So for us, because religion is all about ubudiyya, religion is all about slavehood. This is what faith and religion is. Religion makes you humble, supposed to make you humble. Religion is basically making a person such that from being self-opinionated, from being a person of stubbornness, from being somebody who's selfish, who only thinks about him or herself and just does what he or she thinks and wants to do, to someone who says, no, actually, I depend on someone else. That's what religion is. You become an abd and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam means submission. So Islam means that you stop becoming self-obsessed, self-opinionated, stubborn, and you stop doing what you want to do and do what Allah wants you to do. This is what religion is. There's lots of things we want to do. We might want to steal. You might want to commit zina. You might want to backbite. You might want to do this. A lot of things, this feels good. I want to drink a bit of beer, whiskey, drink alcohol, do this sin, do that sin, swear at someone, kill someone, be jealous, hate someone. I want to do these things. And this is why when someone doesn't practice religion, what we call ghafla. Ghafla is you just don't care about Allah. You just do what you want to do, basically. That's heedlessness, ghafla. Like, you just live a life of whatever your desires, whatever you feel like doing, you do it. That's called disobedience to God. And obedience to God is you do that which you don't feel like doing because of God. So I want to do this. No, I can't do this because I am a slave of my God and my Allah. I am a slave. I submit to Allah. So at every point of my life, I am not someone who makes his or her own decisions. I see what God tells me. I am dependent on Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is what Islam means. That's the meaning of Islam, submission. So following him, so following the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, emulating him, obeying him, that's a requirement in Sharia. So I was saying that it's very difficult for a human being to follow someone else. If someone tells us that, you know what, this is a person, you obey this person. Normally people say, you will say, okay, why should I obey him? Does he pay me wages? Yeah, normally, al-insanu abidul ihsan. So there's only two times when someone will submit. In Arabic, there's a saying, al-insan abidul ihsan. Human being becomes an abd. See, you become an abd, same word. Abd of someone who does favors on you. There's only two ways. There's only two ways when people are going to submit to another or listen to someone or obey someone or be submissive towards someone. There's only two reasons. One is worldly. When someone disfavors on you, you know, you get a person who's always giving you money every month, then whatever, you know, you'll try to suck up to them. You'll do things. You'll try to make them happy. You'll go and do things for them because you know that every month £500 are coming. Some rich person is giving you a lot of gifts, so you'll do a lot of things what they want to do, or you'll do it for your employer because they're paying you. So anyone doing something, giving you something in return, you will submit to them and follow them and obey them. And the other reason is you obey again. Even in the other reason is also because of ihsan, but the other ubudiyah is to God because God gave you life. Every ni'mah that we have, we're breathing, we're drinking water, we're living. Everything around us is a ni'mah, gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are slaves of Allah. So there's only two reasons why someone would listen to someone else. Either because there's some favors being done, or because you think this person is my Lord and this being is my Lord and Allah, and you know, I am submitted to my God. So it is very difficult normally for human beings. So if some random person, if I tell you that, you know, there's this brother here, whatever he says, do just follow. You will say, why? Is he giving me wages? Is he giving me gifts? Like, why do I have to follow him for? Like, who is he? Why do I have to follow him? He's not my God. He's not my messenger. So there's no reason why you would follow. You might say, okay, I'll see. If there's something good I like about that person, then I'll obey him and I'll follow his ways. Something I don't like, then I won't. We have been told to emulate the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow his sunnah in every aspect of life, everything that he does. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. For you in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a perfect role model and example. We have been told to emulate him and follow him. Now the question is, why would we do that? Impossible. We are not prepared to obey and follow anyone. Here we are being told to emulate and follow and obey somebody called Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't even see him now. At least this person, you're saying to me that, you know, I'm telling you, follow this brother here or listen to him or whatever he says. At least you can see him and you can see, okay, this guy, bit sound, looks okay, talks okay, seems to be a balanced guy. Maybe I'll follow him. This is someone that you can't even see. You might dream of him, but you can't see him in real life. You're not interacting with that person. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were told, O Sahaba, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. O companions, for you in this Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is a practical example. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Follow him, follow him. For them it was easy because for them, it's like in real life, okay, oh Allah, who are you telling us to follow and obey and emulate? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ah, who? He's there. Okay, let's see. When he wakes up, what is he doing? Okay, How does he sleep? How is he buying? How is he selling? He's going to the market. Whoa, this is amazing. As-Sadiq al-Amin. So truthful, so trustworthy. Look at the way he's buying. Look at the way he's selling. Look how gentle he is. Look how he's treating small children. Look how he is with other people. How is he entering the masjid? Look how he's talking to somebody else when they come with a problem. How does he exit the masjid? Look at him, how he's eating. Whoa, that's an amazing way of eating. Oh, we're going to eat like that. Sahaba had it easy because they saw him every day. You understand what I'm trying to say? They saw him every day. This ayah, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, for Sahaba meant something else. For us, it means something else, which I'm going to explain. But for them, it was a practical, visible, day-to-day role model. Oh, companions, here's the role model. Every day, spend time with him, go to the mosque with him, go to his house, go in the market with him, talk to him, eat with him, sit with him, interact with him, converse with him, communicate with him, give him a gift, take a gift from him, ask him how to take a gift and how to give a gift, talk to him about siblings and wives and parents and children, and ask him about everything. Here he is for you. We have been told to obey this messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay, we have been told to obey this messenger, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. But he does not exist physically amongst us. We don't see him in the morning. We don't see him in the evening. We don't see him in the masjid. We don't see him in the market. Okay, but we've been told to follow him and obey him and emulate him. So it's even more difficult for us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's two issues. Number one, we're already stubborn as it is. We're not ready to follow anyone. And then if we say, okay, it's a messenger, we can't even see him. Now, this third, following him, this injunction, Allah is telling us that obey him and follow him and emulate him becomes very, very difficult. Becomes very difficult because we don't see the person, number one, and number two, we are not prepared to follow and obey somebody else. Why would we? So it's a problem, isn't it? Therefore, in order for us to be able to follow him, we need something before that. And that is what will make us follow and obey and emulate Allah's messenger, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And what is that? Loving him. Loving him. Now, this is what we're talking about. This seminar is, what is it? Loving the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. I was actually going to talk about this part in the last half an hour and then, you know, but it's okay. It's the other way around now because this is the way how it's appeared. Loving him. So we need this loving part first. Why? Because even in today's world, I said we're already stubborn. We don't want to follow anyone because we are human beings. And, you know, we don't normally follow. But I said that you do follow someone. We could have added another reason there because we said we only follow someone because if someone's doing us favors. Or another reason is when we love someone. Why do we love that person? Whatever reason. Someone's in love with a girl. Some guy is in love with a girl. We'll try to copy and imitate that girl and just try to make her happy and just do whatever she wants and we'll do that. Let's not say a guy with a girl, husband, wife, halal relationship. You must have all heard of this famous two people, Majnun and Layla, in our history. Majnun, his name was not Majnun, by the way. A lot of people think his name was Majnun. Majnun literally, just linguistically, basically means insane, crazy, mad for the love of Layla. And Layla wasn't also her name. It's like Romeo and Juliet. So any two lovebirds who become like, into, you know, who start loving one another, They're just called Majnoon and Layla. Majnoon is anyone who goes crazy and mad. You could be the Majnoon of the dunya. You could be Majnoon of a woman. You could be, and actually Layla then started becoming used for anything that people obsess over. So it's not really a woman. It doesn't have to always be a woman. Layla could be the dunya. So they say the dunya is the Layla for somebody. If someone's obsession is the wealth, money, dunya, then that person's Layla is the dunya. So Layla is referred to anyone or anything or any item of the world that people crave for and is are obsessed over. So this person, Majnoon, his name was Imra'ul Qais actually. And he was madly in love with a woman. And then she was called Layla. And he would just go and circulate her house and do anything for her. He used to go and even kiss the building or the house that she was residing in. Somebody asked him, why do you do that? Why are you kissing the bricks and the stones? He said, Amurru ala diyari diyari layla. Uqabbilu dhal jidari wa dhal jidara. Wa ma hubbu diyar shaghafna qalbi. Walakin hubbu man sakana diyara. I pass by the walls of the house of Layla. And I kiss this stone and I kiss that stone. I kiss this brick and I kiss that brick. وَقَبِّلُوا ذَا الْجِدَارِ وَذَا الْجِدَارَ وَمَا حُبُّ الدِّيَارَ شَغَفْنَ قَلْبِي. The love of these bricks and these walls have not overtaken my heart. I'm not in love with the building, with the bricks. وَلَكِنْ حُبُّ مَنْ سَكَنَ الدِّيَارَ. Rather, I am in love with the person who dwells inside of this building. So what happened to this Majnoon guy? He even started loving the house, the dwelling place of Layla. So anyway, I was saying loving someone. So if you love someone, you will do anything for them. You will obey them. Nobody has to tell you to follow. Nobody has to tell you to follow. So therefore, I was saying that we have all been commanded to obey Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But as human beings, it's difficult because number one, our nature. Number two, we don't see him within us day-to-day life. So the only way that's going to make us follow him and follow his sunnah and follow his ways and have love for and emulate him and obey him is that we have this extreme deep love for Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Once we have this love, then we will not require anyone to even tell us that, you know what, you need to follow the sunnah. We will not require anyone to tell us that you need to obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We won't need a talk encouraging us to follow the sunnah. We won't need a Jumu'ah khutbah, the imam, to tell us that, you know what, it's important to bring sunnah in your life. The way you eat, you drink, sleep, walk, talk, everything you do it in accordance with the way of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because you already love that person. Nobody, you don't need anyone to tell you. So loving him will automatically make you follow him. Loving him will automatically make you obey him. Loving him entails emulating the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is why in Sharia, loving the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in itself is a separate obligation. Following him is an obligation, but loving him in itself is a separate obligation. Following him is an obligation, but loving him is also fard'ain. The Quran tells us that to love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is fard'ain. It's personally obligatory upon every human being to love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله. So, you know, loving the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is fard ayn. Just like we have to pray our 5-time prayers, we have to love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just like we have to pay zakat, just like we have to fast, just like we have to perform Hajj, we also have to love. Have this love in the heart more than anything and everything. The hadith says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. You cannot be a complete believer. You shall not be a complete believer until I do not become more beloved to you than your own parents, your own children, and the whole of humanity at large. Now, the question is, just like we had a question here, I can't follow him because I don't see him. And number one, I'm a human being and I'm stubborn, so I can't really follow. And so we need love. Then we automatically will follow him. The question is, how do I love him then? Because loving him is important for us to be able to follow him. So the question is, how am I going to love him? Again, the same question arises. The same example, I said to the person, follow this brother here, and if you want to follow him, love him. Now, if you see this brother, or this human being in front of you, you see him, wow, this is an amazing human being. Look at how gentle, how kind, how considerate, how generous. He's so nice to me, he's so nice to everybody else. This is an immaculate, amazing human being. Yeah, I think I actually quite like this person, mashallah. Amazing qualities. I'm going to live a life like this person's life. It's easy to love someone or to have a likeness for someone if that person is in your midst. Again, the Sahaba companion had it easy. They loved. Umar radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, I love you more than anything and everyone except myself. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you have to love me more than even yourself. And then afterwards he said, O Messenger of Allah, I love you more than even myself. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, Al-an ya Umar. One of the meanings of that is, now you've become a complete believer. So the Sahaba, they saw him. Why wouldn't they love? This is why you saw them in the battles and everywhere. Anything would come. They would never compromise their absolute crazy love, insane love for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, in history, there's no example like that. Example of a people, a group, who are absolutely devoted, A to Z, like crazy devoted. Even non-Muslims have said this, that you don't find examples of such intense devotion, such deep following and emulation and devotion and submission and love and likeness and, you know, this connection with their leader or their ruler, like the Sahaba had for the Messenger of Allah. Can't find examples like that. Why? Because they saw him every day, day-to-day life. The companions mentioned in the books of Sirah, whoever saw him, أحبه, fell in love with him. من رآه أحبه. You had no choice but to fall in love with him. Because they saw the qualities that this person, this Messenger of Allah, the way he is just so unique. He's a human, but he has superhuman qualities. Muhammadun basharun wa laysa kal bashar. The poet says, he's a human, but he's not like other humans. So he's a human being by nature, but he's superhuman. His qualities are superhuman. He's still a human being, but some of the things are like, to be exactly like him, it's not possible. We try to emulate him, but it's not possible. Like some things, like for example, we find in the seerah, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that, Khadimtu al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ashara sineen. I served the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍّ قَدْتُ. In 10 years, never did he say a word of contempt to me. I mean, we hear this hadith, so we say, oh, okay, alhamdulillah, great, amazing. Just imagine someone working for you. You've got a person who you've employed working for you for 10 years. Every day they're working for you. Outside the office and in the office, they're working for you. they're bringing food for you, and they're doing this for you and that for you, and going to the market for you. In 10 years, you are human. You would not be a human if you just slightly showed a bit of, you know, should have done this. It's normal. It's just part of being a human. And he said, never did he say to me for something I was supposed to do, why didn't you do it? And nothing, never did he say to me for something I wasn't supposed to do it, why did you do it? And I must have made those mistakes, but never did he say it. This is only the domain of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Only he could do that. So this is only the domain of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had intense love for him. And because of the intense love, I was saying this number two, their following and their obedience was intense as well. This is why I said there's a connection. The more you love him, the more you will follow him. They followed him to the letter, like in an intense way. There's examples where once the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving a khutbah or a sermon in the masjid, and there were people who were standing near the door at the back in the masjid. So he was trying to tell them that, you know, don't stand around, sit down, everybody should sit down basically. So during his khutbah, he said, all of you standing, take your seat, sit down. Everyone should sit down, don't just stand around, everyone sit down. So there was one companion, he was coming to the masjid walking, and he was just outside the masjid. He hadn't entered the mosque yet. And whilst he was just outside the mosque and he was walking towards, he was on the street, on the road, he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's voice. He heard him saying in the masjid, in the sermon, he said, him saying, everyone sit down, please. As soon as he heard, on the middle of the road, sat down. So you might think this is crazy, but he's not using his brains. But that was in that particular case. Of course, right now, if someone said this, we wouldn't do that. You'd say, like, he's not trying to tell me, like, let me go and find out, do you mean to sit down? Even if you're working for someone, is it hazard, you know, cars coming? Of course, you know, some people might think, oh, that means you just, even if there's a car coming, you just sit down and let the car come and get an accident and give your life away. Islam is a practical religion, but we have to understand each issue in its proper context, like with balance. This was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one. Number two, we can't understand their love, their intense love, because they used to see him day to day, and then probably he saw that this road, even though it's a road, there's no, you know, car coming or something. But some people make these kind of things, oh, but didn't you think, like, how can you sit in the middle of the road? Like, okay, you're living 400 years later. If you were there and there, you saw it, then you made that judgment, then that's another case. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam afterwards told him, he said, why did you sit down on the road? Like, I wasn't telling you to sit on the road. Look at his response. He said, O Messenger of Allah, whatever you meant, and maybe you were trying to tell the people in the masjid that sit down, but when my ears, I forgot what his name was, which companion was, but when the ears of, you know, this person, he's talking about himself, when I, these ears of mine, heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sound and voice and command, sit down, then it was virtually impossible for me to move even 1 centimeter or 1 foot forward. I can't. I hear him, sit down, I'm down. Then I will find out whether he wants me to actually come into the masjid or not. This is how the companions followed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did they follow him in this way? Because their love was intense. They loved him a lot. And why did they love him so much? It was because they saw him. They interacted with him. So the question for us is that we have to love him to be able to follow him. But we can't see him. The Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, the companions, they were fortunate and had an advantage in that, in this regard, that they saw the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam every day in their life, so it was easy for them to love. How can we love him? We are being told in the Quran, in the Hadith, in the Sunnah, to have love for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is someone that we've not seen, we've not met, we've not interacted with, we've not sat in his gathering, we don't see that person. You're telling us to love someone that lived the world 1440 years ago, and we don't see him. We don't interact with him. How is it possible to love him? So the answer to that is that yes, if we want this loving stage, then there's a stage before that. There's another stage. And that stage is knowing him. And this is why I said, knowing him is to love him. Loving him is to follow him. Knowing him, of course, we can't know him or recognize him or learn or identify him as the companions did. So the companions did have an advantage. And therefore, maybe, like, you know, who knows, you know, our struggle is greater than the companions. And I think there's a hadith as well that's mentioned that people who will come after, they'll be more rewarded. And that doesn't mean we're better than the companions. Companions are companions, radiallahu anhum, of course. But if you can't beat them, join them. You can't be like the Sahaba. What's the next best thing? Because they had it easy. They were able to love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they saw him, they met him, they interacted with him. We don't live in that time. We are not living in, you know, first century Medina al-Munawwara. We're living in 2019 in United Kingdom or America or wherever you are. We're living somewhere else. We're living 1440 years after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how can we love him? The answer is that we have to know him, and we have to recognize him, and we have to learn about him. And this is why it is so important to learn the sunnah, the seerah, the biography of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only way we can love him is to recognize him. If you learn about him, then you will automatically, the companions fell in love with him because they learned about him, they saw him. We can't see him, so we have to learn about him from the books, from the courses. We have to read the books on seerah. We have to learn the books of seerah. We have to study in detail the biography of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam every single day of our life. Some of the scholars say, just like we recite the Quran every day in our life, that's to build our love and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's another topic as well, because Allah as well, we don't see him. Because we have to love Allah, and we have to love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can't physically see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these eyes of this life. In the akhirah, inshallah, we will. But in this world, with these eyes, لا تدركه الأبصار. We can't see Allah. But we have to love him. So that's a topic on its own. That how do you love Allah? And loving Allah is by building a connection with him. How do you build a connection with him? Thinking about all his ni'mah and his bounties and gifts and all the things that lead you to Allah. And it's a topic on its own. So with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by learning about him, by reading his characteristics, by studying his life in detail, I was saying that some of the scholars say that just like it is important for a person to read the Quran, reading the Quran daily in your life makes you have a connection with Allah. One of the reasons how you build love for Allah. One of the reasons how you build a connection and a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading the Quran. And if you read the seerah and hadith, and seerah, the biography of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then that makes you have a connection, a relationship with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Makes you love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore, it's just, I think we should make it a habit of ours that every single day of our life, we should read the book of Allah, Quran, recitation of the Quran, and we should read and study the seerah. This is in addition to studying his seerah as a course, but then after that, throughout our life, even if it's repetition, just different books, just read every single day, maybe as a family, read the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every day we read the Quran and read the seerah, we will have love for Allah and love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we have love for both of them, we will obey and follow both of them. So the first, knowing him is to love him. Or you can say, knowing him leads to loving him. And loving him leads to following him. Or you can say, knowing him results in loving him. Loving him results in following him. It's easy to love someone when you know that person. You know, there's an incident I just remembered, mentioned. There was a person who sent his son to study somewhere far, from India or from the subcontinent somewhere. His son was young, a teenager. He sent him to some Western country, to a big university, to go and study. So the child, the son left, studied there for good 10, 15 years, etc. After about 15 years, got his degree and his PhD and postgraduate degree, whatever, and he qualified as a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, something. And then he started working there as well for a bit and started his work and his profession and his career. And he's got now a lot of connections and acquaintances, and he has all these relationships and links, business links with people in his profession. And he's become a very important person. After a good 15, 20 years, he made plans to go back to his hometown, his village, back somewhere in Pakistan, India, whatever, to go and visit his family and his old father. He thought that I need to go and visit. So he went. And when he went there, now he's an important person. So even in his hometown, there's people who, he's part of a massive, you know, corporation. So there's people who work for that same industry or the company, even in his home country. So they also knew that he's coming from London or whatever. So at the airport, a lot of different people came to receive him and meet him and greet him. Some people from the company and some important figures and personalities and people came to see him. And in amongst those people, his old father from the village also came. So when he came out of the airport and from the terminal and came out from the arrivals, there were so many people who came to greet him. And he recognized some people and meeting them. Hello, Mr. Sir, this is, I'm this and I'm this, and I work for this company, I'm this, okay. And he's meeting everybody. And his old father, who's a villager, looks like simple guy, and he was just like wearing simple clothes, was trying to see his son. And he didn't know he was his father. So he just completely blanked him and avoided him and didn't give him attention. Just said, old man, wait a minute, I just need to meet this person. Somebody then just suddenly told him, Mister, that's your father, actually. He said, what? That's my father. He left everybody and he, you know, embraced him and he met him and then kissed his forehead and held him and then kept his father next to him. A few minutes ago, he was saying, you know, old man, can you just move? I just want to meet somebody. And the moment someone told him that that's your father, he left everybody and he went and met his father. Reason being was, until he didn't know and recognize that was his father, he was just an old man. The moment he recognized and he knew that that was his father, he gave him all the attention and started loving him. So knowing someone results in attention and love. Recognizing someone. And this is why the Quran says, أَمْلَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ. Don't they recognize their messenger? The Quran tells us that recognize the messenger. Know the messenger. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. It's really, really important for you to recognize the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, the first obligation, let alone the third obligation, the first obligation is التعرف. It is recognizing the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to identify him, to recognize him, to know him, to learn about him. To know his, learn about his qualities, his character traits, know about his virtues, learn about all the amazing character traits he had, the way he spoke, the way he ate, his akhlaq, his amazing character traits, all his perfect kamalat and his perfect character traits, it's important to learn about them. And once you learn about them, then you will surely fall in love with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I once asked a brother in America, I think this was in Chicago many, many years ago. I think it was in Chicago. That somebody became a Muslim. No, actually an imam in Chicago. He was an Egyptian imam in one of the mosques. I was having a discussion with him and he mentioned this to me. He said that he once met somebody, or somebody from Chicago, somebody he knew. He asked him, he became a Muslim, that other person. So he asked him that, why did you become Muslim? What made you accept Islam? What made you embrace Islam? So the person said, he asked him that, did you become Muslim because, you know, someone gave you da'wah, or somebody gave you a copy of the Quran and you read the Quran and you studied the Quran, or because you saw the Muslims, etc., etc., and because you saw some amazing Muslims and that's why, you know, you thought, wow, I need to become Muslim. Rather, probably nowadays, somebody who's thinking about being a Muslim sees the Muslims, probably stops, you know, the thought and idea of being a Muslim. Not everywhere, inshallah, we'll try to be positive. But he said, it wasn't because I saw Muslims or someone invited me towards Islam or gave me da'wah or I read the Quran. I came across once a small booklet about the character of the messenger of the Muslims, the prophet of the Muslims. Somebody maybe just handed that to me. And I was just reading and I was like thinking, wow, this is an amazing human being. Is this how he was really? This can't be just some normal human being. And then he said, that led me to, I want you to read more about him and more about him. And then eventually I just fell in love with this person. And then I fell in love with the religion that he came with. And that's how the Sahaba became Muslims. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, why did they embrace Islam? Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, he's going to kill the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he's going this way. And then he's seeing his sister and his brother-in-law. And all these people, like suddenly they left everything. Why did they accept Islam? Because they fell in love with the person who brought Islam. That's what they made them become Muslims. It wasn't that they had a connection with Allah and, like, you know, they felt and they studied and, you know, they, you know, looked at all the pros and cons, and they looked at all the theological, you know, dalail on the existence of God. Maybe that was secondary. You know, they thought, okay, the sun, and if the God exists, because who, you know, they suddenly had this whole, you know, sophisticated theological discussion about the philosophy of everything and the creation and the stars, and they said, okay, God exists. No, they just fell in love with this person who is a superhuman being, who is a human, but he has and possesses superhuman qualities, and that just made them just fall in love with him, and because of him, they embraced Islam. So the way to embrace Islam and the way to be practicing Muslims is to fall in love with this person. But you can only fall in love with this person if you know about him. And this is why it is so important. I personally feel probably the most important, alongside studying the Quran and recitation of the Quran, the most important thing for a person's iman, for a person's Islam, is to study the seerah and the sunnah. And this last part of this discussion in the next 15, 20 minutes, it's important not just for your Islam and your Iman and your faith, but also, like what I was talking about, for success and salvation, for success and for prosperity in this life as well. And this was the part of the talk that how loving the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam could lead to achieve contentment, tranquility, and success in this world and the hereafter. In the hereafter, alhamdulillah, we don't need to explain that. There's success in the hereafter. But even success in this life and tranquility and peace. So even that's a benefit. Why? Because once if we have these three things, not just loving the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but all three things, they come in a package. Knowing him and loving him and following him. Just trying to check if you're listening. Knowing him, loving him, and following him. It comes in a package. This, all of this, as a package, the Quran said, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Like I mentioned this in the beginning, and I just touched upon it, and I said I will later elaborate more on it. Not just that it's good for the next life, and it's good for our Iman, and our Islam, and our connection with Allah, and all of that. That's there, without a doubt. But it's also good for success in this life. But like I was saying, success in this life is not what we consider a success looking at the external. It's to do with the mind, the internal peace, tranquility. When we start having this whole package of following, loving, and knowing, remember, we need the whole package. So not just loving, because someone who loves and doesn't follow is actually not loving. Because when we say the whole package, each part of this package, each component is connected to the other. You can't separate. You can't say I follow, but not love. If you follow, you love him. And you can't say I love him, but you don't follow. Because if you don't follow, you don't actually love him. And you can't really love him without knowing him, because you don't know what you're loving. So it comes as a package. So this whole package of knowing, loving, following, this whole package in itself, this whole package will give this success in this life, but spiritual success in this life. How will it give you success in this life? Is because once you've got this package, and remember, this package includes following him. This is why somebody came to me. This is why I'm saying this, is because we're saying here how loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will lead you to achieve contentment. But if you say you've got love but not following, then it's not going to give you contentment. That's why I said loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will give you peace and tranquility. But if it comes as a package, the package of love, contentment, sorry, the package of no love, follow. Not just love on its own, because loving on its own is not love. You can't even say you're loving him, because if you don't follow him, it's not love. It's something else. Or you're deluded. If someone says, I love him, but I don't follow him, then it's actually a delusion. You think you're loving him, but you don't love him. So we can say that the real love, which actually includes following him, gives success, gives tranquility, gives peace. Why? Because that love entails following. Once you follow and you emulate the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once we emulate the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we follow his footsteps and we follow his sunnah, his ways, everything he did from beginning to end, then without a doubt, you will have a life full of peace, of tranquility, of internal happiness. Because you will look at the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will implement those teachings in your life. You will inwardly embrace the ways, the practices, the methods, the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we say the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not just the sunnah of prayer, how he performed salah. It also means and includes the sunnah of eating, the sunnah of drinking, the sunnah of conversing, the sunnah of talking, interacting, the sunnah of dealing with your children, the sunnah of dealing with your parents, the sunnah of dealing with your spouse. You know, someone's married, but they're having marriage problems. And I mean, a lot of people have marriage problems, and sometimes small problems are part of marriage. But then internally, how can you be at peace in your marriage? You can only be at peace in your marriage if you make your marriage in accordance with no love, follow the Messenger. Nowadays, people, they're married, but they're not happy in their marriages. Why they're not happy in their marriages? Why don't they feel this peace and tranquility in their marriage? Because they don't have that package of no love, follow in their marriage. Their marriage has to be built on no love and follow. The actual marriage itself, before marriage, engagement has to be based on no love, follow. The period between engagement and marriage itself has to be based on that. You start off on the right foot. The nikah, the marriage has to be conducted based on no love, follow. And ultimately follow. Is it in accordance with the sunnah? Are you conducting and carrying out your marriage based on the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? After marriage, are you living like a husband should live? Have you studied the seerah? If you look at the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did he deal with his wives in marriage? Is the man dealing with his wife like that? Is the wife dealing with her husband in the way taught by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If you do, then you will have that peace and tranquility. Buying and selling as well. See, how did he buy? How did he take a loan? Actually, he very rarely took a loan. Taking a loan, he actually warned against taking a loan. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's famous dua is actually, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ghalabati ad-dayn. Oh Allah, I seek protection from being overcome by debts and loans. And this is why it's actually not recommended in Sharia. It's permissible, it's halal. But if you don't need a loan, a debt-free life is a stress-free life. That's another saying as well. That's my saying. I've tweeted this once before. A debt-free life is a stress-free life. How many people are stressed? Why? Because this world is such that they've overcome with loans. You've got 75 million credit cards in your wallet. And every credit card, there's this credit card and that credit card, loan there and that loan there and a car loan there and a house loan there and a mortgage there and £200 borrowed from that person. And it's just like, you don't have the peace. If you read the seerah and you've loved the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you followed his way, he says, you know what? I don't take loans unless it's absolutely necessary. Live a life which is debt-free life. Then you'll have that peace. Also, you look at his teachings, which is that achieving tranquility is looking at people below you, not looking at people above you, but looking at below you in life. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way was that انظروا إلى من هو فوقكم. What's the hadith again? انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم. In worldly matters, look at the people above you. Look at the people below you. If you earn £10,000, think about and look at and consider the people who are poor, who earn £1,000, people who are very less in life, people who just about make ends meet. Stop complaining. You know, we are ungrateful beings. You know, what happens is that we're always complaining because we always look at things we don't have and we forget that we've got two eyes to see. Imagine, you know, close your eyes and think, you know, imagine if I was blind. I normally say, it's a personal thing, that try spending at least once a week or once a month, 15 minutes without opening your eyes. Just to realize how great ni'mah the eyesight is. Breathing is such a great ni'mah. I'm not recommending spending 15 minutes without breathing, by the way. You know, okay, I'm going to spend 15 minutes without breathing. No, just carry on breathing. But just imagine, like, try doing that. I've tried it. I think I need to do it more, like every week at least. Just try to do your normal day-to-day activities. 15 minutes, I'm going to close my eyes. I want to try to do one lecture like that, you know, once just, I can't see the audience, and, you know, I'm giving a talk. There were some shuyukh who imam, and some great imams in the past who taught hadith without eyes. There was one scholar who passed away from Pakistan. He used to give lectures and he was completely blind, and 1 hour talk he used to give. Just imagine great ni'mah, thinking about this ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, look at people who are less fortunate. You are human beings, you are ungrateful. We think about, oh, I don't have this and I have that, and look at my earnings, and look at this person, look at that person. No. Look at people below you. There's people, orphans, poor people, people in hospital, people who have one hand, one foot, one leg, disabled. There's all sorts of things. And even if you have a disability, you still have, you know, you've got an ear, you've got a hand, you've got so many different things. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look at people below you. Don't look at people above you. This will make you grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will make you have tranquility. I will mention one thing here, that look, there's two different things here. One is means of happiness and tranquility, and actual happiness and tranquility itself. A lot of people confuse the two. Means of tranquility and happiness, and tranquility and happiness itself. Asbabur raha and raha itself. Raha means tranquility. Asbabur raha means means of tranquility. What's the difference? The difference is that we think There are certain things that are means that give you happiness. Like what? Money, car, house, job, career, friends, good family members, all these external things. These are means of happiness, means of convenience, means of success, or basically means of being tranquil. I've got a good wage and I've got a big house and I've got a nice car and I've got my degree and I've got everything. But remember, in the world, you will never be satisfied. But anyway, so these are means. But that's different to actual happiness and tranquility itself. People have confused the two. We think car itself is actual tranquility. The money that's coming in, the wages, the earnings, they themselves are tranquility and peace. The house, all these things, which are means of tranquility, we actually consider them to be tranquility themselves, which is not the case. Tranquility is something else. Means of tranquility is something else. Sometimes you might have the means of tranquility and tranquility, both. Sometimes you might have the means, but not tranquility. And sometimes you might not have the means, but you might have the tranquility. How many situations? And the last one, fourth. Sometimes the worst case scenario, you don't even have the means of tranquility and not even tranquility. فَهَذِي صُورٌ أَرْبَعَةٌ. Can I repeat them again? Four situations. Sometimes you have both. So you've got a lot of money, car, house, all the means of happiness, tranquility, and Allah has blessed you internally with peace and tranquility. So you've got both. Great, alhamdulillah. Sometimes some people, they have, the second probably best, is they don't have the means of tranquility, but they have tranquility. So they don't have a lot of money and riches and a lot of items of the world, but internally, mentally, they are stable, they are happy, they feel good within themselves. This is a ni'mah that only comes from Allah. Raha and tumanina and tranquility only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a ni'mah that Allah grants to people He wants. And only those people get that ni'mah and receive and acquire and obtain that ni'mah who actually have that package of no love and follow. Allah gives it to them. So if you've got a lot of money and you have no love and follow, then you'll also get that as well. So some people, they don't have the wealth and the means of happiness, but they have the tranquility. Third situation is the opposite of the second, which is quite bad, which a lot of people are involved in, where people have the actual means of happiness. They've got a big career, a job, income, wages, cars, properties, but they're depressed. There's no peace in their life. Majority of the people, because they haven't been blessed by Allah with this ni'mah of tranquility, because they don't have that no love and follow. And lastly, the worst case scenario, the worst is a person who doesn't have none of the means of happiness, and neither that person has actual tranquility in their life. May Allah protect us. May Allah grant us maybe the first situation or the second situation. So there's a difference between actual happiness, tranquility, and the means of tranquility. Actual happiness is a ni'mah and it's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's surur fil qalb, the raha, it's ata min Allah, it's a gift from Allah, it's a kayfiyatul qalb, it's a situation, circumstance of the heart, and that only comes when somebody follows the ways of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the things that is really important, which I will end with, of acquiring this, achieving this tranquility, are the prophetic supplications. Again, study the seerah. And I normally say that it's really important to study this aspect of the seerah and the sunnah. And maybe we need to do lots of courses on this. I think every mosque should have a course, and maybe Al-Balagh guys are listening. I think you should arrange a course on prophetic supplications, the ad'iya, the du'as, the supplications of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are established from the sunnah, the authentic du'as, because these du'as are supplications are seriously so relevant, so important. You might say a course on them. Yes, a course. I know children learn it, but these du'as are so deep. They have so much oceans of meanings in them that each du'a we can talk for half an hour in and trying to understand these supplications. Some of the early scholars said that these du'a, these supplications and ad'iyah, al-ma'athura, they themselves are a mu'jiza, a miracle of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They show and indicate that these are divine words. Oceans of meanings. You know, as soon as you wake up in the morning, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. We learn them when we are children, but these supplications need to be learnt, not just the Arabic, but the translation and the deeper meanings. I can explain this dua, it'll take me about half an hour, 20 minutes at least. There's so many aspects to understand. There's no time for it right now, but just sort of understand just one point that we say, all praise for Allah who gave us life after death. So first thing you wake up in the morning, before taking your mobile phone and looking at WhatsApp, you know, all the night messages or this group, that group, first thing. Nowadays, that's what people do. First thing, they sleep next to the phone as well. Eyes open. WhatsApp, Twitter, Facebook. You should just off your phone and put it away downstairs or in another room that you have to go there. So in the morning, you don't touch your phone first thing. First thought of the morning when we wake up, maybe the phone, maybe work, maybe job, maybe the office, maybe the car, or you know, all these worldly thoughts come into our mind straight away. The way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that as soon as you wake up, first thing in the morning, what do? You wake up, first thing, Alhamdulillah, all praise for Allah. I love my God. What did he just do? He gave me life. Am I awake? Let me just check, double check. Yeah, am I alive? Let me just double check. I'm not dead, am I? Am I dead? Am I in my grave? I'm alive. Allah has given me a new, fresh day. Ahyana ba'dama amatana. After I had died, at night I was dead. Because sleep is a sister of death. And the Quran calls sleep death. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtiha wal-lati lam tamut fi manamiha fayumsiku al-lati qada alayha al-maut wa yursil al-ukhra. So we are dead at night. So wake up. A new day, a brand new day. Look out of the window. You breathe the air. Alhamdulillah, Allah's blessing of air is still here. Beautiful sunny day. Even if it's rainy day, beautiful fresh rain. Whatever, whether it's a dull day or a rainy day or a sunny day. Ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. One day I'll be going back to Allah, but today Allah has given me a new fresh day. Fresh opportunity to be successful in this life. Allah has given me, I could have died. I could have woken up. Like I could have not woken up this morning. I had a close shave with death. I was like half dead, but now I've been given. Okay, today I'm going to spend it in these activities for the sake of Allah. You think all of these thoughts come in the mind. Then you go to the washroom, to the bathroom. And what do? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. There's a translation for that as well. But when you come out, I'll just explain this dua. What do you do? As soon as you exit the bathroom, you make a dua. Ghufranak. Forgiveness to Allah. There's a reason why you do that, but there's no time. After that, you say, Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anil adha wa afani. Again, all praise to Allah who removed all the filth and dirt and harmful things from my stomach. Now this is a dua to understand that, you know what, if I and you, we were not able to go to the toilet in the morning, to the washroom, to the bathroom, and relieve ourselves, we would die. We would end up in the hospital. Some people have to have a bag on the sides because it has to leave. What's basically happening, we wake up in the morning, we don't realize that, you know what, at night, I ate chicken, biryani, meat, kebabs, burgers, healthy, unhealthy, junk food, and even the bones. I ate everything, gobbled everything up. And then all the, you know, fizzy drinks and whatever, everything. I had a big, massive meal, no problem. Everything was ate and went to sleep and 7 hours. Allah saying to us, no worries, my slave, my servant. You have a relaxed sleep. You just sleep. Don't worry. You've got a nice pillow and you've got a nice bed and you can sleep. 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, whatever hours you want to sleep. Have a nice, comfortable sleep. But you don't know, whilst you are sleeping, there's people in your stomach working. There's Allah's machine is working in your stomach. The machine, there's a whole night shift. Night shift is taking place, like proper machines are at work. There's proper work taking place. It's a big, massive, like a factory. But the point here is that Allah is so kind to us that this whole massive machine is working, but not disturbing us. We won't disturb you. You just sleep, let them do. Allah says, you know what? I won't like disturb you. You carry on sleeping. The work will carry on taking place in your stomach. So we won't disturb you. And this work is important for you because all that food that you've eaten, protein is being derived from that food for your body. Blood is being derived. Healthy elements are being derived, and you know, different parts and all the different functions are taking place from all that food, and the impure or the harmful effects, that's all being sifted and being stored and it's just going one corner. So in the morning when you go, you just go and remove that, so that's gone from your body. So that work is really important. Without that work, you will die. So that work is important. But then if that work takes place and there's so much noise and sound, then you're not going to be able to sleep. So Allah says, you know what, don't worry. You carry on sleeping. You just rest. We won't disturb you, but we will carry out the work. We just ask you one thing. Just wake up for Fajr Salah. Only Fajr. That's it. We won't disturb you. Have your 6 hours. Just wake up and offer your Fajr Salah. And we'll do all the work for you at night. So that in the morning, it's ready to go into the toilet and just flush it down. Shh, gone. That's the only thing you have to do. That is the meaning of Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba annil adha wa afani. I've just given two du'as as examples and like the summary. There's 30, 40, 50 prophetic supplications. Each one of them has deep meanings. This is from the seerah, from the sunnah. And there should be a dedicated course with translations and the meanings of every single du'a of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you live a life where you are reciting this dua whilst you wake up in the morning, when you're entering the washroom, you recite the dua with the meanings, you exit the toilet with the dua, with the understanding, you sit in the car or in the plane transportation, you recite the dua with the meaning, you know, you eat, you read the dua before eating, after eating, your salah is with thought, with mind, with khushu, with devotion, your thought, your brain is always there, you are mentally, spiritually connected with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you will have peace, you will have tranquility, and you will have contentment, and you will have happiness in your life, inshallah. May Allah grant us all of this. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum. See, there's so many seerah books. It's difficult to recommend one. All of them are written in from different angles. There's one, the one by Sheikh Mawlana Idris Kandahlavi, rahimahullah. He was a scholar from the subcontinent, but it's translated into English. In three volumes, what is it called? Sirat Mustafa. Yeah, do I have English one there or no? Sirat Mustafa. No, I don't have that there. See if there's any English. This is if you read Arabic. No, yeah. What's good? Sirat Mustafa is there. This one, if you see, it's called Sayyiduna Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're probably seeing it. Don't it was really like, you know, isn't it? It's the camera.
Yeah, it's really
okay. Nice. Our Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, written by somebody called Sheikh Abdullah Sirajuddin rahimahullah, who was a scholar from Halab, Syria, has passed away. But it's been translated into English called Our Master Muhammad. I think in two volumes. Somebody called Khalid Williams, I think, translated it. It's a very, very good book. It's not just seerah, it's more like characteristics and shamail and akhlaq and the ways of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It really makes you love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Tirmidhi Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya is very good. Some other books in terms of Sirah, in Arabic we have Sirah of Ibn Hisham, which is probably translated into English. Al-Rahiq al-Makhtum, the Sealed Nectar, also in English, which is good. What else is there I have down there? You know the second, there's Mawahib al-Ladunya, Zadul Ma'ad, there's, what else is there? Okay. There's some Arabic ones that I have. I don't have too many English ones, but they're all Arabic ones that I have. Okay, but yeah, so you can, there's quite a few ones you can read, inshallah ta'ala. I don't know, they won't be there, it's all in that section. He's wearing a jubba sunnah, or was it a culture of the people at the time? No, wait, one second before that. Is it correct to say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive in his grave? Look, who's asking this? Fatima. This is a superficial, it's a non-important question, to be honest, seriously. The problem is that we, you know, all these controversial kind of questions that people like to discuss and argue and debate about, they're taking us far away spiritually from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, this question, is it correct to say that he is alive in his grave? The answer of that, there's two things. One is that, what's that going to do to us in terms of like practical life? Number one, it doesn't do anything to us. Like, we are not required to know that from a Sharia point of view as well. It's not in the books of Aqidah. Imam al-Tahawi's Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah doesn't say, okay, believe in one Allah and believe in the Messenger and believe him to be the final prophet and believe him like you have to be alive or not alive, whatever. That's not a point of Aqidah anyway. So we will not be questioned about that. We will not be questioned on Yawm al-Qiyamah or in our graves. We won't be like, did you know that he was alive in his grave? No, what will be questioned about? Did you recognize him? Man hadha rajul? Did you follow him? Did you follow his sunnah? Was your whole life based on his teachings? Not whether you could believe that he's alive, but if your life is not in accordance with how he was when he was in Medina, then it's of no benefit. So we will not be questioned about it, number one. Number two, it doesn't practically affect us. We have to love him regardless. We have to send blessings and salawat on him regardless. We know our deeds are presented to him regardless. We have to read salawat and durood every day as much as possible. We have to love him. We have to follow him regardless, whatever. It doesn't affect us. So it doesn't, we will not be questioned about that. It doesn't affect us practically. And the third issue is that even if you believe either way, there's no way anyone knows the exact details. Majority of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah scholars said that you believe generally that he's alive. Not just him, even the Shuhada. The Quran says the martyrs are alive. Bal ahya'un. You think they are dead? You don't even realize? Bal ahya'un, they are alive. So the prophets are alive, you know. But that's the only thing we're required to believe, alive. Nobody ever has gone into the details, and nobody in this world knows the details. Does he mean that he's sleeping? Does he have a pillow there? Is he breathing? Is he waking up in the middle of the night and having some coffee? Is he having tea? Is he having bananas? Is he having biryani? He probably likes Asian food, right? What is he eating down there? Is he offering salah down there? Is he sitting in his grave and you know, looking at everybody? Nobody knows. We don't need to know. He's alive. End of story. Allah knows the best. We will not be questioned about it, and it doesn't affect us. End of story, and that's the end of the matter, inshallah. Okay, not too many questions, because we've gone over time, and I need to go, actually. Is wearing a jubba or sunnah? Not necessarily. What's important, the principle of dress is that you have to, there's about 6-7 principles of dress. That's a topic on its own, that you have to wear a dress, which is loose, which is not tight, which is not like for a male especially, and even female if you're going outside, it's not stuck like most of these clothing right now. I mean, right now, they just make so tight clothes. Your aura, like your thighs are being exposed. So they're not see-through, they're not tight, you don't see the figure of the body, they're loose fitting, they're not specific to a particular religious symbol, etc., etc. Then it's all fine and there's not a problem. Then you can wear whatever you want, inshallah. Al-Balagh, that's not my question. How can we increase the chances of seeing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in dreams? Brother, sister, whoever's asking this, The objective of life is not to see the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dream. This is another problem that we, sadly, we've completely missed the point. You know, in the early times, early scholars, seeing him in a dream was like the side issue as a result, as a benefit of living a life in accordance with his teachings. So somebody said, how can I, the question would be, how can I follow in his footsteps? How can I make my marriage exact like his sunnah? How can I buy like him? How can I sell like him? How can I talk to my children like him? How can I take a loan like him? How can I rent a car like him? How can I, even though there were no cars, but how can I rent? How can I hire like him? How do I drive a car like it was the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam driving? How do I do every aspect of my life like him? That was the question. As a result, wow, I saw him in a dream as well. By the way, I saw him in a dream. Okay, oh, alhamdulillah, no problem. That's it. Move on. That's the real place of dreams. Nowadays, sometimes it's presented to us, okay, I'm going to, what can I do to see him in a dream? Shall I do this in the morning? That's not the objective. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, forget being a dream, they saw him with his eyes. Abu Jahl saw him every day whilst he was alive, forget dream, yet he's in the fire of hell. You could see the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam 100 times in life and you could still end up in fire of hell. I'm not saying you, like a person. And somebody could never see him in his dream all his life, but he could be in Jannatul Firdaus. Objective is living a life in accordance with his teachings, not his seeing him in a dream. If you see him, alhamdulillah, great. It's like a bit of salt, not salt, a bit of icing on the cake. The cake is living a life according to his sunnah. A bit of icing, maybe seeing in a dream. If you go for the icing, no cake, then that's not the objective. So, you know, to answer this question, how can we increase the chances? I think I can answer this in a good way. How can we increase the chances of seeing the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in our dreams? You know how to increase? Live your life A to Z in accordance with the sunnah. It will automatically happen. You don't have to do anything else. From the moment you wake up, sunnah in your life, till the moment you sleep. And when I say sunnah, not just the way he dresses, everything. When you go to someone's wedding, when you give a gift, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give a gift with sincerity, not for a reason. How you talk, how you deal with your relatives, do we fulfill the huquq, the rights of our spouses, our children, our family members, all of this, no fights, no disputes. If we do all of this, then inshallah we'll see him in our dreams. To what extent should our love for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam be? There are some people who take it to extreme, like we know them as some Bareilvi, they have extreme love. Like whoever's asking this question, it depends what you mean by extreme. You know, look, I'll give you this book. For someone, this is extreme, so this is not extreme. Someone, this is extreme, so this is not extreme. Because it's a word in the air, extreme. Okay? You know, for someone, you tell them, don't eat too much. Don't go to extremes length of eating. You know what that person means? He eats one potato in 24 hours. So if you're eating two potatoes, it's extreme for him. You're extreme eating. You're having two potatoes. Because for him, his yardstick is one potato, one bread. You eat two pieces of bread, you're extreme in your eating. Somebody might think five is okay. So the sixth bread is extreme. It's just in the air. Don't go into extremes in loving. Like, from what is extreme? For someone, it's like you just about don't swear at him. Then if you just say one good thing, or the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was amazing, that's extreme. For someone, that might be extreme. So this whole thing that what is extreme, I can't answer this question unless someone goes to extreme. It's not this word, this type of question should not be there. What the question should be, that is this particular thing permissible to do or not? Is this an innovation? So if there's something specific that can this be done, then we can have a clear answer that this is not right, or this is right, or this is sunnah, or this is bid'ah, then an answer can be given. Please tell us more about the structure of the course. Okay, how detailed will it be? The people in Al-Balagh will tell you, inshallah. I am this is an off-topic question. Braces. Okay, Haji, I'll leave that because I really need to go. May I watch this live class? Okay, is the wisdom of the... What is the wisdom of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not participating in the Sharia? Okay, not the actual jihad Sharia, because there's, you can read this in this history Sirah, but look, a person cannot be participant in everything. So the major battles, he would be part of it, but then he's sending different. He can't be like, I'll be in that Sharia and I'll be in that Sharia and that one there and there. Even in today, so that's, it's a logical answer to it. And the last question is a good question. Someone actually saying Jazakallah khair to me. So Jazakallah khair to you, for you as well. Inshallah, we leave you with that. And as Asr Adhan is taking place here as well. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.